Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
We'll begin with this story out of Chicago. Cindy Howard's son, Curtis Brown, was 47 years old when a heart attack claimed his life a week ago. And the sudden death of the father of 12 was a surprise to family members. But an even bigger shock awaited. Brown's aunt, Sharon, said, "My sister called me and said, call the funeral director because she said my son is missing. Her dead son is missing." Curtis's body was in the care of Collins and Stone Funeral Home and was sitting in the business's gray Chrysler on Saturday, which, according to police, was an easy target for a thief. Police said, "Don't leave your vehicles unsecured, running and doors unlocked. Just so happens this one had a body in it." The vehicle turned up in a Sunday in Chicago, but Curtis Brown's body was not inside. The 47-year-old's body was found Monday evening in an alley. Authorities released an image of the man they believe swiped the van, while the Brown family says that they were working through paperwork with the funeral director, Brandy Collins. Speaking out publicly for the first time since the ordeal, Cindy Howard said that she didn't learn that her son was missing until hours before he was found. She said, "They found my baby. He was dumped in an alley. But we didn't find out about the van being stolen until Monday because I live in Mississippi," she said. The family alleges that Collins even stopped taking their calls, the funeral home.
That's how you keep customers.
Spearman said, "I called Brandy and she didn't answer, so I used my granddaughter's phone." And
we're not a funeral home anymore. We're a dry cleaner.
She answered and then hung up. And I text her and I'm like, "Brandy, this is unprofessional. You have to understand the hurt my sister is going through. She lost her son twice, once in death, and now he's stolen." The family has since learned that Collins was recently fined $10,000 for unprofessional conduct, failure to account for personal property. So they've had these issues.
Losing bodies, all that stuff.
Collins' Stone Funeral Home did not immediately respond to a phone message seeking comment. The family says the morgue is assisting with shipping Curtis's body back to Mississippi.
You know what? Bury him yourself.
The search for the suspect linked to the vehicle theft continues. Anyone with information is asked to call the police. Wow.
That had to be heart-wrenching.
Yeah. Well, it seems like no one is immune to a conspiracy theory these days, even if you suffered a serious health emergency on live television. And that's exactly what happened to Damar Hamlin after the Buffalo Bill had confirmed he experienced heart attack arrest during the team's January 2nd game against the Bengals. The horrific moment, which was being watched by millions, saw Hamlin drop to the ground following a tackle. We all know what happened. Yes, he was resuscitated by medics. Well, he was transported immediately to the hospital. Thankfully, he's doing a lot better since. So much better. In fact, that the NFL star was able to go to the Bills playing the Bengals during the game on the 22nd. The Bills' official Twitter account shared a photo of him arriving the stadium wearing dark glasses with his hood up. Shortly before, the account shared a second video of the athlete applauding the team for what appeared to be an enclosed suite. The clip gave a clear view of his face from the side with the hood up, and that left some room for conspiracy theorists to suggest that something more sinister was going on, and maybe the Bills player wasn't actually there, but the real Hamlin wasn't taking the speculation sitting down. He had a tongue-in-cheek response for all those suggesting that a stand-in or body double may have taken his place. He shared a photo to Twitter on January 23rd of himself alongside a mural of himself and looking down alongside the caption that said, "Clone," with a ninja emoji. The cryptic caption appeared to be a reference to a bizarre rumor going around in which some on social media, some users suggested Hamlin may have died on the field. Wow. And a fake version of him was sent out to the game to make it seem as though he is still alive.
You know who's a big fan of his? The guy who replaced Paul McCartney.
That guy?
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, my God.
He's a huge fan.
Huge fan. A man was killed. This is terrible, and you hear this every now and then. A man was killed during a weekend hunting trip in Kansas when a dog stepped on a rifle and discharged the gun.
God.
This happened.
Is this three times?
There was one not that long ago. Yeah. There was one late last year around Thanksgiving.
Why do people give shotguns to their dogs?
Deputies were dispatched to investigate a 911 call that 30-year-old Joseph Austin Smith of Wichita had been shot in the back inside a pickup truck. The sheriff's office said the team arrived within minutes of the call And they found Smith in the front passenger seat of the truck, started CPR, and he ultimately died from the gunshot wound.
And there were pictures. This guy clearly loved this dog. And you know, they had this thing. So what do you do, you know? Yeah.
The dog, which belongs to the truck's owner, was in the back seat of the truck with hunting gear, including the rifle, when the dog stepped on the gun. It was not immediately clear if anyone else was in the truck at the time, and there have been several other notable canine-related gun incidents in recent years.
Just remember that they get excited, and they're jumping around, and don't leave it in a place where it can be stepped on and discharged.
Yeah, don't chamber that round when you put it into the into the car. The Virginia teacher who was shot by her six-year-old student. And we know this story, right?
Yeah.
Apparently texted a loved one before she was wounded that the boy was armed and that the school officials were failing to act. A source said that Abigail Zwerner sent the text about an hour before she was shot on January 6th, saying that the student had a gun in his backpack and that administrators at Richneck Elementary School in Newport News weren't helping. The text showed her frustration, said the source, who disclosed details of the single text message. She said she was frustrated because she was trying to get help with this child, and then when she needed it, no one was coming. Zwerner's attorney, Diane Toscano, said at a news conference that three teachers went to the school administrator about the boy's behavior on that day and that he was believed to have had a gun on campus. She first went to school administrators between 11:15 and 11:30 and said the student had threatened to beat up a classmate. A second teacher went to an administrator at 12:30, said the teacher had taken it upon herself to search the boy's backpack. The administrator downplayed the report from the teacher and the possibility of a gun.
Did he say the kid's pockets are too small?
I don't know.
Yeah.
A third teacher told an administrator shortly before one that the boy showed a student a gun at recess and threatened to shoot him if he told anybody.
This is a six-year-old.
And a fourth employee asked the administrator for permission to search the boy and was denied. The administrator told employees to wait the situation out because the school day was almost over.
Wow. Yeah, he's got a gun, but it's like 2:30. We're good.
So the superintendent, George Parker, said at a virtual town hall this month that the boy had come to school late and that his book bag was inspected when he arrived at the office to sign in. And at least one administrator was notified of a possible weapon, Parker had said in the video. Well, they fired Parker at the school board meeting right after that. So,
hey, little buddy,
that's
you want to join the big boy club? So do me a favor. Don't shoot anyone before the school day ends, right? All right.
So they did speak to him.
Now, scuttle back to class.
All right.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
In Connecticut, a thief stole a hairless cat along with designer bags during a hotel room burglary in Shelton.
Mr. Biggles.
Wait, so there was a hairless cat staying in the hotel?
Yeah, and they stole it. The burglary happened on Sunday at the Hilton Garden Inn, and there were no signs that someone had forced their way into the room. The hairless cat named Princess was taken, along with a Fendi and a Gucci bag. The items are estimated at about $8,500, not including the cat.
Why would you take the cat?
I don't know.
Do they think it's worth money?
Or maybe they'll hold it hostage.
A witness.
Or they'll hold it hostage like they did Lady Gaga's bulldog, you know? A pet napper.
I don't know where I am, but I can hear like a delivery truck out back.
Police have released
like there's a train in the distance.
A photo of the suspect and their vehicle. In the photo, the suspect is holding what appears to be a blanket, wearing flip-flops and socks.
I'm hearing people talk with thick accents.
And wearing a gray hooded jacket. So they are looking
for
the person.
By the way, my next purchase. My next pet. I'm getting a hairless cat.
Just to not deal with the shedding and everything? Or you just like them?
Both.
Yeah?
And I've heard that they can kind of have an odor to them because they are hairless. But my cousin has a hairless dog. The dog is a little stinky. But I know a few people that have hairless cats and they said it's not like the dog. Okay. I don't know if that's the case, but if it doesn't have a nasty odor, I'm in.
And what, you just like them? Or?
I like them. And yes, the hair situation, like to not have animal hair on my clothes would be like a dream come true.
That's a laughable concept in my house. Laughable.
Well, one of our old interns just got
hairless. She was one of the people that I spoke to about the odor.
No, okay. All right. Never thought about that. All right. I'd be down with a hairless cat.
Sure.
That'd be cool. Hairless pussy, if you will. A woman killed a woman killed in a, this is a follow-up, a woman killed in a fire crash on the Pennsylvania Turnpike over 35 years ago has been identified, the Pennsylvania State Police said. The woman was identified as Linda Jean McClure of Indiana, Pennsylvania. Along with their findings, state police provided a photo of Linda from a 1975 yearbook when she was approximately 13 years old. The crash occurred October 27, 1987, on the Turnpike in Stony Creek Township. And according to state police, McClure, who was 26 at the time, was a passenger in a tractor trailer that struck a fuel tank of another semi-tractor trailer. Caught on fire. She and the driver were killed. State police said authorities were able to immediately identify the truck driver as a California man. But the woman's name remained a mystery despite multiple attempts to identify her. And then in August of last year, the Turnpike Commission agreed to pay for forensic genetic genealogy testing. And once funding was tested and secured, the police teamed up with an Oklahoma establishment to get an identity for the unknown woman. I'm sorry, not Oklahoma. Othram is the name of the company.
Oh, okay.
Or to at least identify the nearest living relative. Forensics evidence was sent to the lab. And they used genome sequencing to produce a genealogical profile. And the investigation went on from there. Police contacted her family, told investigators they last communicated with McClure in the 1980s. She was never reported missing to law enforcement, according to state police.
Wow.
So she was 26, so maybe she was. They thought she was just leaving or living on the road or whatever. Her brother submitted a DNA sample for comparison, and it confirmed she was a victim of the 1987 crash.
It's amazing.
Wow. Pretty wild, yeah. A woman was arrested last week after district officials discovered she had filed false documents to enroll as a student at New Brunswick High School.
This is wild.
A grown woman.
Yeah.
Superintendent Aubrey Johnson made the announcement during a Board of Education meeting. Johnson said that she was here for 4 days before being found out and barred from entering district property. All appropriate authorities were immediately notified, and the individual in question was arrested for providing false documentation.
She does look young. I tried to enroll at a KinderCare about 6 months ago, and the jig was up immediately.
No, sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
The woman was not identified. The woman did attend a few classes while enrolled. Students came into contact with her were asked not to engage with her again, either remotely or in person. Parents of students of the woman came in contact with, as well as all other parents of children in the district, were notified. And the superintendent said the district will be reviewing its enrollment process from here on.
So. She's hanging out with the kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. A drunk passenger stole a bus and drove it through a town, leaving a trail of devastation in the UK in his wake. The bus collided with several other vehicles after it was taken on Monday evening. Other passengers fled in fear as the man allegedly took control of the bus and drove it through Milton Keynes, Buckinghamshire, which is what Bucks County is named after, by the way.
Yeah.
Miraculously, no one was hurt in the incident, but a man has been arrested and charged with aggravated vehicle taking and drunk driving. The police said, when people say you've had a drink, take the bus. It isn't meant to be taken literally.
He was just following their request.
They said this bus in Milton Keynes was stolen by a drunk passenger earlier on the evening, and a trail of devastation was left as it collided with numerous other vehicles before being stopped. So they could have killed somebody. Absolutely. All right. And that's where we're going to wrap right there. Last story in the Bizarre File for you, my friend.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.